Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. Today on The Warrior Poet, we're going to talk about happiness in corporations and the Navy and a little thing called reef points. I came across a blog today, and if you want to know what life is like at the Naval Academy, you won't be able to check out the blog I started in the summer of 1996, which was on a little web property called GeoCities. This is the dawn of the internet and really the advent of the World Wide Web. There was a collection of essentially blog sites, kind of precursors to MySpace. You could do all sorts of things on your own website for free very quickly. The sites probably look terrible if you were to go back. This is when people had lots of blinking lights and crazy colors and tiled backgrounds and really hard to read text because you got some sort of blinking tiled background under subdued gray text. That was the kind of stuff you would see on the internet at the time. I really liked this movie called Day of the Jackal. There was even a remake, I think, that involved Bruce Willis, if I'm not mistaken. But I really loved the original. I watched it with my dad when I was a kid. It's about a sniper who goes by the name the Jackal. And I think the French authorities are trying to find him during the Cold War or something like that. The movie was probably made in, I'm just going to take a stab here, the early 1970s or so. Anyway, look up the original and maybe see the remake and let me know what you prefer on Instagram. Anyway, my handle, which also became your website, was The Jackal at GeoCities. I'd be curious to go into the Wayback Machine and see it. Anyway, point being, you won't be able to understand what a midshipman's life is like, midshipmen being the students at the Naval Academy, although I did write about it extensively. I think the only visitor was my best friend growing up, who was also going through his fraternity hazing at the same time. And I think also writing about that on his own GeoCities account be kind of cool if we could compare notes. They're not all that different in substance. But there is a blog that I came across called The Mids Watch, or midswatch.wordpress.com. And just by the first article that I'm seeing, not that this is the most popular blog on the internet, but it's really authentic in terms of what that midshipman experience is like. This is not a plebe. I think he's writing in, this is in 2008. The blog is still up. He's clearly some sort of upperclassman. He describes what is known as the happiness factor. He says, as explained on page 132 of the 2006 to 2007 edition of Reef Points, the happiness factor is the number of days of leave divided by the number of days until leave, an equation even the bull majors understand. Few explanations there. Reef Points is this book of naval heritage, wisdom, sayings, things you have to memorize, such as the code of conduct, which we talked about on a previous episode. And every plebe, all plebe summer, basically memorizes the entire book of Reef Points. There's lots of practical advice there about the Navy. Also, lots of just useless things you need to memorize about the Naval Academy as well. And then the bull majors being the majors in which you can just bullshit, at least according to the engineering majors at the Naval Academy. For a long time, the military academies did not have humanities. Thank God they did by the time I went there. It really is too bad that so many of us in corporate life look forward to vacations so much and that those vacations are so very different than what our day-to-day work lives are like. This is a big basis for Tim Ferriss's book, The 4-Hour Workweek. He talks a lot in that book of lifestyle design about things like mini vacations and really trying to make your work life as compatible and like your living life as possible. It's something we all can aspire to, even if everyone here has not cracked the code there. Speaking of the Navy, when I was on the USS Rushmore, it's an amphibious ship out of San Diego. We had gotten back from our deployment to Southeast Asia. Everyone had taken a little leave, become a little happy, and then it was back to the grind. An even harder grind, to be honest, than a deployment. It's no secret to those who have been in the Navy that deployment is often much better than being in port for a lot of reasons. One of those being engineering inspections. I was a division officer, and one of the divisions that I had been in charge of during my time there was engineering division. And engineering inspections are no joke. They're pretty grueling. And our ship had at one time been called the USS Rustmore. Rustmore, not the Rushmore, because of how it struggled at times over the years before I got there, while I was there, and perhaps after I left that ship to pass all sorts of inspections and be up to naval snuff. I had been moved to engineering division in part to help the ship pass their inspections because apparently I had acquitted myself well in previous duties aboard ship and on deployment. There was a chief, senior enlisted guy. At one point, engineering inspections were going terribly. And this guy and I walked outside the engine room, pulled our double hearing protection off. That's a foamy in each ear, and the over-ear earmuffs where you cannot hear anything. We got outside and there were some other folks around, and it just devolved into basically an argument about how to manage the people there, how to get us to a place where we would pass our inspections. And in his defense, I'm by no means claiming the high road here. In his defense, he had been through many of these inspections. He really knew his stuff. But he was also a complete jerk. And the people on the deck plates really hated this guy. He was a beanpole type of guy. Reddish skin. Very ornery. I wonder if he had an Irish temper, kind of like I do sometimes. At one point, as we were kind of all yelling at each other, he says to me, "Sir, if you're not pissing people off, you're not doing your job." And then he stormed off. And that phrase stuck with me ever since. I don't agree with it wholeheartedly. One can do one's job without necessarily pissing people off. But it's a useful check on yourself, and it might just get you thinking. Too much in business, organizations, everyday life, we focus so much on making other people happy. You would think that this trend would have reversed itself somewhat, at least because of millennials taking more ownership over their happiness, their mental health, doing what they want to do, their passions, than those who came before them. It might also be better if people had listened to a lot of literature about how to find the right job for you, how to manage effectively. Business resources and education and theories have only grown. So it is remarkable that we all, at least most of Western society ignore that advice that our parents gave us when we were teenagers about not caring what other people think of you. And really, in everyday life, the parents, the neighbors, the teachers, the leaders you respect the most, inevitably are those people who care very little about what others think of them. They care more about doing what's right and making an impact. Of course, none of us want jerks all around us all the time in the workplace. However, happiness has a cost. It's very easy to overlook the happiness factor, if you will, in the workplace. A lot of inefficiency can come from making people happy all the time. And at least I've witnessed that a ton of passive aggressiveness and manipulation happens beneath the surface, much more in that environment where happiness is prized as a character trait and where collaboration is confused with actual leadership and competence. I would also argue that happiness in the workplace, at least elevating it to such high importance, and where everyone's actions and the culture are indicative and exemplify that emphasis on making others happy, that is a symptom of an organization where you have very weak leadership, very poor division of responsibility, inadequate specification of the mission that you're trying to achieve, and a general weakness of decision making. See, when you actually have swim lanes and people know what their job is and know what they are trying to achieve, and where there's an organization of trust and accountability, then it doesn't matter most of the time whether leaders make each other happy. You don't need to worry about what the leader of another organization thinks of you, as long as he does his job and you do your job. There's that saying that kids have, MYOB. It's not M, your own beer, right? It's mind your own business. And I think we'd all do a lot better in the world and eventually be a lot happier if we minded our own business at work. But see, as a leader, you actually need to set up your people to thrive in an organization that you have designed effectively, where responsibilities are outlined correctly. You need to hire people who can actually trust each other and do things to build that trust. You need to specify what the swim lanes are, what the processes are, and you need to hold people accountable for not executing on those responsibilities. And ultimately, you need to define the mission so everyone knows what they are trying to achieve. In reality, if you step back and cede those responsibilities to those below you without specifying one person who is going to be in charge of that, ultimately, that group will probably fail to self-organize. In my experience, decades now of leadership, I've seen startups, I've seen big corporations, I've seen the military. Self-organizing teams sounds great. And I really plan to study this more because I love the idea of that organic leadership. As I've said before on a podcast, I love picturing kind of primordial organizations and leadership in, let's say, a village, pre-civilization, prehistory, going out to build a fence, dig a ditch, defend themselves. Teams can self-organize, but actually I think that prehistory village is better off than a modern corporation in terms of setting up a self-organizing team. Because in that prehistoric village, someone will inevitably step up and assume the unofficial leader position. Or because they're all in bed with each other, so to speak, living in the same village, trying to defend themselves, subject to famines, getting each other's back when the other is sick or their family is in danger. Someone dies, which happened with a lot more frequency and a lot sooner back then. If you don't actually cooperate, then the cost is really high and there's a repeat game. No one can leave to another village. That's not happening in that prehistory. In the modern corporation, people leave all the time. And there's not that repeat game and there's not that threat if you don't collaborate. So what inevitably happens is that everyone just sits back and doesn't take any risk. Meanwhile, the worst people take advantage of the fact that everyone else is supposed to make each other happy, and they do things that ultimately are poisonous and detrimental. And because people don't know what they're supposed to do, they don't know what they're being held accountable for, and they have to constantly present plans and request permission and get alignment and get buy-in and collaborate with people all the fucking time, inevitably, you're going to have many of your best people seriously unhappy. The people who actually have a spine, the people who like to decide and get things done, the people who know how to lead and execute and just want to do that for the good of the company, the good of customers, or because it's just the right thing to do, they're going to be seriously unhappy and they're probably going to leave. And you're going to be left with a bunch of people who are happy, but what else? Warrior Poet is a property of Rainiac Productions. If you like The Warrior Poet, there's more great content on Instagram. Follow Shri, The Warrior Poet, on Instagram. That's S-R-I, The Warrior Poet. You can also get to know me on a personal level by following Shri, actually, on Instagram as well. The Warrior Poet is produced by Laddie, with special contributions by Spoonman and me, Shri.
No, 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 no. Kevin. Mina do it. Spita.
Ah,